Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hi, I'm Bob Marone for Westchester Talk Radio, promoted by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Today, we're with our friends at Hightower Associates, and we're going to talk about estate planning with us two people who know their way around these issues. Of course, Roman Chosik, the managing director and partner at Hightower Westchester, and a talented attorney, Hattie Bave. She's an attorney with Comer, Bave, and Omen, and I welcome both of you to the program. Roman, good afternoon, and so we meet again. How are you and your family?
Everybody's doing well, thank you, Bob. Hopefully the same thing on your end as well.
Well, I want to say a quick hello to Patty as well. Patty, welcome to the broadcast. You're first with us.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you with us, and we have so much to talk about. You know, while we've covered estate planning in prior podcasts, we wanted to do this with Patty to focus on the importance of estate planning and also work collectively for the benefit of clients. Roman, tell us about this.
Certainly, Bob. So I think it's a new world. I mean, a little bit about our team, I think we all know. So we are holistic fiduciary wealth advisors. And, you know, for us, it's about creating a comprehensive overall plan for all of our clients to ultimately achieve their goals and objectives. As the clients that we deal with, it's sort of an array of different individuals and family wealth we do. We also do a lot of focus around business owners, and then we do some things around foundations and endowments. So to us, that's kind of the core competence of our business. But what we ultimately start and end with is financial planning, as that is one of the more important pieces of what we do. And integrating estate planning is such an integral part of what we do and how we do it. And it's nice to have Patty sort of address some of the concerns and things that all of our clients and prospects are facing.
Patty, thank you, Roman. Patty, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your practice? And I assume you already know it, so you don't have to practice too much.
You're always learning something new, Bob, though, every day. I want to thank Hightower for having me, and it's nice to be here. I have been a lawyer for about 35 years, practicing in the areas of estate planning, elder planning, guardianship, special needs. I have been in Westchester County all my life. We do, our practice is in this county, surrounding counties out in the island. We get around and have satellite offices in various places also. I grew up with lawyers. My dad and my brother were lawyers, but I decided to practice in a different area, these areas that I just mentioned, because I feel the area is quite rewarding, as I know Roman feels also, working with families to help them, you know, manage their affairs and do their planning and help them deal with everyday problems and things that really mean things to people. That way they can feel secure about their future and their loved one's future.
Well, it obviously is very important. In 35 years, did you start in preschool? Really?
You're very kind, Bob.
I can see you. Okay, Roman, on the financial planning side of things, what are some of the things clients are asking around estate planning?
Yeah, it's a moving target. I think it's case by case. We look at each individual situation and we customize it. I think the one key takeaway is that when a prospect comes into our door, we want to make sure that all the pieces are in place, all of the documents, everything they need is one of the starting points. As we tend to find out, is that somebody comes into the door and they don't have a will, they don't have any trust, they don't have any estate planning done whatsoever. Or if they do, the other part of it is that some of the documents are extremely old, and what we find ourselves doing is just making sure all those documents are relatively new and relevant with respect to what's happening. And the other part of it is that as circumstances change and people's lifestyles change, whether they get divorced, they start having children, or they get inheritance, things of that nature, things change, statutory laws change, and I think it's having the right advice around that and making sure it's done and done correctly, as opposed to putting it into a drawer and then just forgetting about the estate plan. So as we know, it's a dynamic document.
Very much a dynamic document. Patty, what happens if there is no will or estate, or rather, better yet, can you give us an overview of what the critical documents are that everyone should have? And some people, even as you know, pass on while these things are in development.
That's true, Bob. That's why we have to keep after clients to finish them. And I actually had one of those COVID calls, you know, when somebody had been fooling around with a will for about 10 years. And unfortunately, they recovered. So that's the good news. And we will be able to finish it. But we did it by FaceTime, actually. Yeah, there are several important documents, not always the ones you necessarily think are the top of the list. Certainly, wills are very important. Trusts, we have trusts of varying kinds, revocable and irrevocable, and they're for different purposes. Revocable can be a trust, a will substitute, where you provide during your lifetime, you know, put assets actually into a trust, which I know is sort of a mysterious word, but it really is just a different form of ownership so that when you pass away, your assets pass directly to your beneficiaries without having to go through the court process. Irrevocable trusts we do for long-term care planning, which does tend to be a concern these days because people are living longer and the cost of care is pretty much astronomical, which, you know, why long-term care insurance is such an important topic that I know Roman will touch upon. Some of the documents during your lifetime that are very important are the power of attorney with a statutory gift writer, which gives your agent, who's the person you appoint for financial decision making, it gives them the ability to do some planning if you don't get to the planning during your lifetime. This is in the event of incapacity. Power of attorney ceases with death, and then your executor under your will or your trustee would take over. That's a very important document. I do a lot of guardianship work, and when people become incapacitated, it's guardianship is a tough choice you have to make sometimes if people haven't done this advanced planning, as well as healthcare proxies. As we know with what we've just been going through and still going through, it's really important to have expressed your wishes if you become quite ill and have a representative to be able to act on your behalf. So I think that all of these documents, some more important for some people depending upon circumstances, but all of that needs to be looked at with each client and look in depth at what their circumstances are and their family circumstances are to make the recommendations for the proper documents.
You know, before you go, Patty, before we switch to Roman, I know of a family right now. They have trust set up, but they've not been funded. Mm. There's a will and a power of attorney, and the person's in a coma. Mm. So these are all, and it leads to my next question for Roman. Not everything is so perfect. There are disconnects, aren't there?
Yeah, no, there clearly are. And look, I think it's just that when you're making decisions, these key decisions, it's about having that approach, whether it's your estate plan, your taxes, or your investments. You have to have a team in place. And more importantly, I think it's having the right team. And, you know, for us, we kind of tend to play in that CFO role, right? We're the chief financial officer, where we have the ability to help quarterback a lot of these relationships. And the key, like anything and everything, is to make sure everybody communicates. Just transparency. Everybody understands what is going on. And to your point, right, I mean, people spend $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on estate planning. And what we find is they come to our office and there's a disconnect between what they have and as far as the titling of the assets. And what we then try to figure out is how do we piece all of this back together? Because if all of a sudden the documents aren't communicating or the things are completely dislodged from each other, all this money you've spent building this estate plan is completely just void.
Mm-hmm. I see that. Well, let's then get back to Patty. What happens if there is no will or intestate?
So, yeah, in New York, if when somebody dies without a will, it is referred to as intestate as opposed to testate if you die with a will. So New York, like most states, has an intestate statute that says who inherits your property if you die without a will. And, you know, it's a fairly logical statute in that the people who are closest to you will be the people who will inherit if you die without a will. The difference between, important difference between beneficiary and distributee. A distributee is somebody who is named in that intestate statute. So if I die with a spouse and children, my spouse and children will be my intestate distributees. somebody that I name in a will is a beneficiary. They can sometimes be the same people, but sometimes they're different people. So the real downside in not having a will, I mean, there can be many. I would say the only case where it doesn't make a huge difference is the kind of case where I'm talking about, where you have, you know, it's a spouse and two adult children, and somebody dies without a will. It can be manageable. It really depends upon the circumstances and what kind of assets they have. Obviously, if you have business interests and that sort of thing, it's very hard if somebody has not done the planning, because there may not be anybody immediately in charge, and you have things that have to be addressed immediately, and it can blow up in the short term if you don't have instructions in place, even including successors on business accounts and things like that. So that's how intestacy works. One of the really important spots I just want to mention also about having a will is with minor children. Because if you don't have a will with minor children and you don't have that trust in the will to provide for those minor children, you end up, and in intestacy, minor children will receive a substantial part of the estate. It's going to end up in guardianship court, in the surrogate's court. And that is something you truly do not want. Not only are they involved with how that money gets spent, but the logistics of dealing with how to get that money is very, very difficult, and obviously becomes expensive because you have to go into court. So there are many, many circumstances where you want to make sure you have a will, many more than not. But yes, if you die without a will, the state determines who it goes to. And the other hard part is the state also determines who's the administrator, which is the person in charge of the estate, and that's not always the best person. And sometimes people will fight like siblings because they all have equal footing to be appointed. And sometimes, you know, it just ends up with a big conflict between them.
Wow. Robin, you must see a lot of this on your end.
Yeah. You know, and look, I think the important part, Patty, to your point, is around kids and young kids and things like that. I mean, you know, we're seeing it on the other end as well, right, with assets. And what tends to happen is these assets are everywhere. And if there's lack of sort of continuity around some of these assets, we see people coming in with stock certificates. We see things all over the place in banks. And all of a sudden, each of the respective institutions have different instructions with them. And again, you know, having no kind of will or nothing in place, it seems like, what is the end result, right? Are we kind of sticking to that objective as far as distributing the assets? I mean, our experience is, A, the trustee or executor comes in, A, they're dealing with the death of a family member, and next thing you know, they're trying to put the pieces together. And it's extremely stressful and strenuous when you're mourning. And at the same time, what you have to do is put the pieces together, be objective, distribute the assets, and you have no legal contract doing that. So again, I think it's important to put things in place, have the appropriate beneficiaries, et cetera.
Patty, with the situation we're in with people predominantly at home, how are your clients executing these documents and anything else you see differently? And again, some of them now, there are people in hospitals who are intubated who are halfway through the process. What do you see?
Well, as I mentioned that client before, Bob, we did do one by a FaceTime. That was way early on before we had any direction from the governor. Now we have executive orders in place that allow virtual notarization and virtual witnessing. So we have been working with clients and have signed up many, many wills and other documents. And the basic requirements are that you have to be in the state of New York when you sign. You have to have interactive platform like this one or Skype or something where you can interact and, you know, they can show you that they have signed. And the third big requirement is that they have to get you a copy of what they have signed the same day within 24 hours. But that can be as simple as a picture with your camera and then just texting or emailing that picture of the document that you signed to me. And then, of course, we have the follow-up where we as the witnesses have to, you know, get our own signatures notarized on the necessary affidavits. So there's quite a bit of moving parts, but if I have a client who has a printer, has a computer, has mm-hmm. some ability or a child or a grandchild to help them get on the computer, I had one particular beneficiary form that was weighing on me heavily, and I was able to get that done through the client working with their child. And so that was a big relief to me. So yes, it can be done. takes a little extra effort. As far as I know, today, I believe that has been extended through June 27th. The order just came out. I haven't finished reading it.
Now, I understand that it's important if you should send a fax or if you should have the witness over FaceTime or whatever, that it's best to follow up with a real signature. But suppose the person doesn't make it through and there never is the follow-up real signature.
Right. Well, Bob, I think in the short term, it's absolutely fine that if something does unfortunately happen and the person does not make it, while these laws are fresh in everybody's mind and while we're still going through this, there will be little problem in getting it probated. My concern is, so I do want to redo for everybody, hopefully, who hasn't had a problem, because 5 years from now, they're going to be, hopefully, they're going to be saying, what pandemic and what executive order? So I think it's a much smarter path for me to have these clients back in and re-sign under the normal rules. So that's my plan.
Let's talk about stuff that's in the person's name, the owner of the will, the signer of the will, or the assets. Can you provide some insight around holding assets in your name or a trust and the benefits of doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's always one of the big questions is people come in and they talk to you about probate and talk to you about wanting to avoid probate. And as we know, our clients are very well informed because there's a lot of information out there. Sometimes they have things a little bit mixed up, but they generally know the concepts and what they want to talk about. So one of the big ones is will versus trust. So when we die, if we have our assets in our own name, meaning we don't own jointly and we don't have a beneficiary on them, then they will pass through our estate. If we have a will, the will will dictate where those assets go. If we don't have a will, like we just talked about, it would go by the laws of intestacy. So some people really want to avoid having their beneficiaries have to deal with the courts. And that can be very true in many cases. It can be true if you have a contentious situation. It can be true if you have relatives who are not a clear, if you have an Irish decedent who has cousins in Rhode Island and, you know, Massachusetts and there, I mean, it took me 2 years to do a probate once because of that type
wow.
of situation. By the time the ancestry search got done. So in those kinds of cases, trusts are wonderful because you don't have to track down all those people. Also in cases where, for example, you have grandchildren, trusts for grandchildren that may go on for 20, 30 years, you don't want to be in circuits court because every time you need to make a change, you have to go back for an application. So, you know, there are, but on the other hand, you can have a simple probate with a spouse and two adult non-disabled children and you can have it done in a month. So it really depends upon the circumstances as to what is better. The costs, I think some people feel that a probate is much more expensive. The attorney's fees are different. It's not necessarily so much that way. You do have an expensive filing fee for a probate, but you also have some more upfront costs with a revocable trust because you have to fund that. Remember, you talked before about a very important point, which is that if you do this great document, but you don't get the assets into the trust.
Yes.
Don't take the joint owner off of it, then the document you think is saying where that asset's supposed to go doesn't do its job. So it's really important that the assets go in. And so therefore you have to spend a little extra time when you set up a trust. So it can be a little more expensive creating the trust, less for the will, but maybe a little bit more cost on the other end.
Yeah, and perhaps easier to execute and distribute as it moves forward. I remind everybody that voice you hear and that face you see is that of Patty Babe. She's an attorney with Comer Babe and Olman. We are here today with Hightower Westchester, who is the managing director and partner, Roman Chosik. We are Westchester Talk Radio, and we are virtually the offices of Hightower. And back to Roman we go. Titling of assets is important, Roman, obviously, along with having the proper beneficiaries in such things as IRA accounts or older retirement accounts. Roman, what are some things your team is doing for your clients?
Yeah, I think the first step that we always do is really understanding the client needs and objectives and having a clear vision and making sure we spell it out with respect to the assets. The documents, the wills, the trusts clearly play into this. But as a sort of a quick fix, we want to make sure that all of these assets are titled appropriately. Whether it's having it in individual name, having it a joint right to survivorship, tenants in common, things of that nature. We want to make sure they understand as to what would be the path if something were to happen to them. Now, the one piece that always tends to happen is that, unlike an IRA, usually the assets that are in your individual name don't have instructions on them, right? So if you have an individual account, and if you want to give those assets to somebody, what ultimately does happen is they either go through probate, but the will, whatever the case may be. So what we try to do, just as a sort of a short-term kind of a piece, and it could play into the long-term, is we put transfer on death on some of these assets. Clearly, it makes sense in certain cases, and certain it does not. But what it does do is it does bypass this whole probate process. So it does simplify things, and, you know, Patty, I'm sure you could kind of speak to pros and cons to it, but again, it's a simplistic sort of solution around titling some of your individual assets to make sure they have specific instructions on them. The other part, and what people tend to always not do or do properly, is making sure that the beneficiaries that they do have are not updated properly. Because what ultimately happens within your retirement accounts, if I have an IRA or Roth or a 401k plan, my beneficiaries on those accounts are going to supersede the will, right? So you want to make sure that those two documents really communicate with each other and they have the exact same outcome. So again, if you get married, if you get divorced, we've seen where individuals have life insurance policies in their ex's name and it becomes a complete nightmare. Something happens and the assets go to this person's estate. So again, it's making sure the client understands it. And when a prospect does come in, these are a lot of the things that we tackle. It's not necessarily about just the asset management piece of it. It's the subjective parts of it that play into this whole thing. And again, it's having a team, as we kind of emphasize, is so important in communicating across the board.
Well, Roman, before I move on, some people will inherit a 401k, for example. How important is it for the person who's leaving that 401k to either through an intermediary, let them know what the tax consequences might be? Many people inherit these things and don't understand them. That has to be a big part of what you help do, I should imagine.
It is. And with the new rules and regulations, I mean, before there was the ability to stretch these IRAs. Now there's sort of a 10-year period to draw out these assets. So clearly that has changed that landscape. So we're reviewing a lot of these retirement plans to make sure they really fit that void. And, you know, you have to be kind of aware of who you're giving them to. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily make sense to give them to their spouse. Mm-hmm. Or at least be the beneficiary. Maybe it makes more sense for their kids or their grandkids. So there are implications, and I think looking at, call it the tax piece of it, that tax, mitigating that tax risk, is such an important part. And the other part is look, some of these 401k plans are also Roths as well.
Yes.
So that in and of itself creates another potential positive or negative around that. So again, it's understanding that and coordinating that with your tax advisor.
Well, I think that's one of the things I wanted to underscore is the need for this kind of advice, both legal and financial. And as such, we have other issues like that, folks. Medicaid. Medicaid planning these days is overly complicated. Patty, can you explain the differences and what you're doing to help in Medicaid planning, please?
Sure, Bob. Yeah, so just basically just a quick differentiation between Medicare and Medicaid. So Medicare is the government program that we all pay into while we're working and at 65 become entitled to health care benefits under the Medicare program. Those are health benefits. They are not for the payment of long-term care, which long-term care is associated with custodial care when people get either disabled or elderly, and they have needs related to their personal care that is not per se medical. That is when long-term care, Medicare will stop. You often hear the scenario of somebody going into having a fall, going into the hospital, getting discharged to a nursing home, having rehab that is covered by Medicare, and then ultimately that will stop. And the question is, does that person needs for long-term care continue? And if they do, the three ways to pay for that are private, which of course is exorbitant, long-term care insurance, and or Medicaid. And so Medicaid's the government program's means-tested. You cannot have much in the way of assets at all, other than your retirement accounts, which in when you're receiving your payments from them, is exempt, but you do, your income goes towards the cost of your care. So that is, there's two kinds of Medicaid. There is institutional for nursing homes, and there is home care. And as you may imagine, home care is a very popular option. No dispute about it. There's great demands on the system. People are aging. People are living longer. There's a big demand. The system is trying to figure out how to pay for it. So the law is getting more restrictive. So the home care, which used to be able to transfer assets today and qualify next month, has now instituted a look-back period, which is a period that the Medicaid looks at to see whether you've transferred any of your assets, and that will make you ineligible for a period of time for Medicaid. It used to be none of that look back for home care. Now, as of October 1st, there's going to be a 30-month look back. You're probably familiar with already the 5-year look back, mm-hmm. everybody. So now Medicare home care is going to have a 30-month as of October 1st. So that, you know, changes our planning options. But yes, we do lots of planning. There's spousal planning you can do to move assets if one spouse is unhealthy and the other spouse is okay. For the community spouse, we have planning that we can do with irrevocable trusts for Medicaid, mm-hmm. where you transfer assets and you wait that 5 years if you're healthy enough. And we have some other planning that can be done on the doorstep of the nursing home. But yeah, to a large degree, Bob, long-term care is a lot of people's focus because the exclusions for the estate taxes has been increasing so much that for mm-hmm. many people, estate taxes is not an issue like it used to be. And the long-term care planning has become very heavy on people's minds.
You know, I just like to emphasize this. I mean, you emphasize this because you've done a great job of explaining the details. It is so important for people to plan ahead. Even if you don't have a lot of assets or they're minimal, yep. or you intend to move them, planning as much as 5 years before, if not earlier, is essential to protect yes. your assets. And so thank you very much. Now that we've learned a little bit about Medicaid, let's talk about the importance of long-term care, life insurance, and the roles they play in planning for longevity. How do those things fit into the budget in terms of financial planning, Roman?
Yeah, look, I think it all kind of goes back to the financial planning piece of making sure you have an up-to-date financial plan. You know, as much as for us, we tend to gravitate or focus on the assets of clients, but more importantly, we look at the liabilities as well, right? Mm-hmm. And asset protection is such an important part of that overall dialogue. And for us, we want to make sure we mitigate some of that risk piece of it. As we all know, life insurance for us, whether it's life insurance and or long-term care, we don't do this internally. We outsource the business, but we're very involved and engaged in the whole process because we understand how this works. You know, in New York and you know, clearly front and center, what's happening now is there's a lot of headline risk with a lot of the facilities, as we all kind of see on TV. But what we do believe, this will change and it's going to get better. But to Patty's point, there has been a lot more significant home care as well. So people want to stay in their home and they feel that's where they're gravitating more towards. In New York, long-term care at a facility could easily be over $120,000, $130,000 per year. I think a lot of the insurance company underestimated as far as what the cost may be. So what people are seeing is their premiums going up and they're paying a lot more premiums than they did years ago. Does mm-hmm. it still make sense? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Because paying that cost 4 years, you're talking about $500,000 easily in expenses. And then the life insurance piece, look, this is another asset protection. You know, as Patty's going to speak to, as far as the exclusion from a state and federal standpoint, you know, there's, let's just say, a certain amount of money that can be given to beneficiaries, estate tax-free. But the one unknown is how these laws are going to change, right? Is there going to be still $11 million per person exclusion, mm-hmm. or is that going to go revert back to, let's just say, $5 million? Moving target, again, more the importance of reviewing that. But the benefit of the life insurance policy is that if it's titled appropriately or put into, let's just say, an irrevocable trust, this is tax-free money that ultimately will go to the beneficiaries and go to them and potentially pay for some of these estate taxes. So again, it's just such an important part of the overall financial plan to make sure it's done correctly.
Roman, before we go, what are your closing thoughts? Tell folks the most important things about working with attorneys and clients?
Well, I think there's many different positives of it, and it's really kind of making sure you have, again, the right people. Working with attorneys that understand the complexities of unique situations, whether it's a special needs trust or just kind of a one person that just needs wills done. And, you know, what we do, and I think we do relatively well, is kind of have that, again, that CFO approach. And what we try to really do is simplify the process for many of our clients. We've created something called a wealth binder. And this kind of just falls into place with some of our older clients, if you will. It's on paper, it's a binder. And what we tell people is your whole financial and asset and liability life is in there. You're going to put in there your wills, your deed, your financial plans, everything and anything you could possibly imagine, life insurance. It's in one certain location. And make sure your executor, your kids, your spouse knows exactly where it is. If something happens to you, that's where they go to. Now, what's happened is we clear through Fidelity, and Fidelity has a portal called eMoney, which does the same thing. But it's all digitized, right? So it's basically cloud-based. You're uploading all that information into the cloud. You could put wills in there. You could put trust in there, financial plans. You could create a budget. It's all in there. And the beauty of this is if I'm the client, I can reach out to Patty and say, okay, my wills and trust are in this document. Here's the password to log in. Here you go. Just go into there. And the same thing applies with tax information. You give your code to your tax advisor, and they could only see that one folder in there. So again, we're swimming into that next generation where they feel there's value in that, right? Because you want to have these documents live sort of in perpetuity in a way.
Thank you, Roman. Patty, what are your final thoughts for our listeners and viewers?
Well, Bob, I have to reiterate what Roman just said, and it's a great service that the financial company like his gives, and I know theirs is very thorough in terms of the instructions to your loved ones, and that putting everything and organizing everything and then being so hands-on, and working with other professionals like I do also, referring people to financial people and tax people and really getting a good team together to address all of these, and then having them all organized in one place. So mistakes, costly mistakes, aren't made, both on the personal side as well as on the financial side. So I totally enjoy with Roman what he's saying about that organization. And I think on the personal side too, that people need to take time and be thoughtful about, you know, the kinds of things that they want. Sort of a letter to their loved ones about how they would like things to go. And I know these are difficult topics, and people don't, you know, they put it off. They don't want to deal with it. And that's understandable. But the beauty of doing it and having the conversation is then you can do it and put it away, and you don't have to keep thinking about it until there's another family event, hopefully a happy one, a marriage or a grandchild or something of that sort. Could be a death, but any of those, you know, life-changing events, you should again revisit. But in the meantime, you know, we work very thoroughly with our clients to really understand the situation and the problems. We don't do quick wills. We want to know, you know, what's going on in your household and what when you're gone is going to be, whether it's a disabled child living at home that you've been supporting, and what's going to happen when you die and the house has to be sold. I mean, we really want to help people find solutions and put solutions down on paper. Because it just makes a world of difference. When the right document is there, or somebody's done their job like Roman in terms of titling assets, it's just such a relief to us that people's needs are being met. So, and I just, Bob, I realized in the beginning that I never did say, my practice is in New Rochelle, Commer, Bave, and Ullman. I just wanted to let people know that, because I don't think I identified.
I could walk here from my studio, probably. I'm right here.
Oh, I think I know where you are. Yeah. Yeah, well, so I just wanted to let people know that and how to reach me.
Well, thank you. And I just would like to underscore something, having hosted this. We see the convergence of so many things. We have the boomer population aging. And one of the silver linings, and there's always silver linings to every crisis, is this is a reminder to folks what's been going on in every city in the world, how important it is to get the planning done now. Because I think, as Roman said earlier, 5 years from now, or you did, we won't be remembering COVID, thank God. But also to do this kind of planning ahead of time, even preparing for that day you might need Medicaid or long-term care is so important. I want to thank you, Patty Bave, attorney with Comer, Bave, and Omen right here in New Rochelle, and Roman Chosik, the managing director and partner of Hightower. Thank you very, very much.
Hightower Westchester is a group of investment professionals registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, and with Hightower Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is not indicative of current or future performance and is not a guarantee. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data and information referenced herein are from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other information contained in this research is provided as a general market commentary. It does not constitute investment advice. Hightower Westchester and Hightower shall not in any way be liable for claims and make no expressed or implied representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information, or for statements or errors contained in or omissions from the obtained data and information referenced herein. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced. Such data and information are subject to change without notice. This podcast was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are solely those of Hightower Westchester and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates. Hightower Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. This material was not intended or written to be used or presented to any entity as tax advice or tax information. Tax laws vary based on the client's individual circumstances and can change at any time without notice. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor before establishing a retirement plan.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.